Hey, join us for a thoughtful episode today as we unpack the 2023 edition of what you should do at the end of the year. We're talking end of year planning strategies for those of you who are nearing the end of your working years. You're getting ready for retirement. What should you really be thinking about as we close the books on 2023? We're going to talk about what you need to do to ensure that stable, rewarding lifestyle. We're going to talk about safeguarding assets, maybe strategies to help you navigate through topics like RMDs, tax savings opportunities, and some of the often overlooked aspects of that pivotal life transition. What can you specifically do at the end of the year to put yourself in a better position for 2024? We're going to cover it all on today's episode, so stay tuned. Welcome to another episode, folks. Janine, it is great to be with you this week. How are you?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the holidays.
Yeah. Any big plans? I mean, you're always traveling. So then to say like, oh, are you going to do some traveling? Seems kind of obvious at the holidays.
Yeah, you know, you got to travel out to see the parents. Well, you still have time to be able to do that. And then seeing some kids with grandkids and, you know, just all the fun stuff. Plus, we have a neighborhood full of kids, which is always fun when the lights go up.
So. Nice. Yes. Do you have a neighborhood where everybody kind of goes all out, you know, lights wise?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. Some people really do get carried away. And then, yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, you're in these neighborhoods where everybody says, okay, now the trees out front, which are called the tree lawn, put the red here and the white here. And I'm like, that's my tree. I'm going to decorate it however I want. I am not conforming.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Gotta keep a little rebel streak in you, please. At some point. Our neighborhood has the really popular, like the permanent lights. They're in the house now. And so people in our neighborhood have lights on year round.
Oh my gosh.
So even the minor holidays, they're lighting up their house with all sorts of different designs and color schemes and all sorts of stuff. So
I've seen ads for that stuff.
But you don't have to go up and take lights down or put new stuff up. You just pull up an app, change the light scheme that you want. You can have something different every night if you want to. It's pretty elaborate.
Yeah, yeah. So. I've seen some of those advertised. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Connie's into it. She's kind of like pushing me. She's like, I kind of like that. I kind of want that. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want the ability to light my house up like a Christmas tree all year round. Like, keep it special. That's just personal preference, but in any event. End of year sounds like we're griping about, you know, Christmas lights. We don't mean to do that. We're trying to be positive here at the end of the year, Janine. We don't want to fall into that negative trap. So what are we exploring today? How can people make good end of year financial planning decisions and improve their situations going forward into 2024? Let's break it all down. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Got a list.
All right, let's dive in. So let's just start with like a broader view. We'll put this under the category of just general planning and investment strategies. And so the first thing on our list, that's end of year checklist, if you want to look at it that way, would be to do a rebalancing task and to look at your risk. So what would go into that for you and your clients, Janine?
Well, typically I do a reassessment. I'll send out another risk questionnaire or just a few questions, because especially when you've had a volatile year, you really want to know, you really want people to reassess emotionally where they are. So that's very helpful, I think, in helping people understand how to rebalance, and that we do that, we rebalance portfolios, but we want to make sure that the risk meter or the risk score is appropriate for where you are. And then we have a conversation about that. So,
and that's because something could have happened in somebody's life during the year, right? They may be in a different situation than they were a year before. And so their attitude on risk may have changed.
Oh yeah. So if you found yourself suddenly single, especially for women, and you know, you're either divorced or your husband or spouse has passed away, then that's a whole different ballgame. And people do become very risk averse when those things happen, because you want to make sure that you're going to be secure and in the future.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. So that's item number one on our list, would be to do that rebalancing and risk. A low-hanging fruit item seems to be at the end of the year, we can look at how much we've contributed to IRAs and 401ks and those kinds of things and max out those contributions if we have the capacity.
Yeah, depending on, you know, tax brackets. And that's another thing we'll talk about in a little bit in the podcast here, is just, you know, taxes in general. But taking a look at what your contribution limits are, and whether you've met them, whether you need to meet them, if you're going to retire next year, you know, but depending on total income, coming in, do you need the tax deduction? So it's a little more than just saying, hey, you should do this. It's really assessing whether it makes sense for you to do that. But yeah, taking a look at contributions is important.
Well, since you mentioned taxes, let's start diving into that part, Janine. And I feel like I start getting all these emails at the end of the year talking to me about harvesting, tax loss harvesting, or something to that effect. I also know that RMDs, for certain people who are already retired, enters the equation as well. So what do we need to know about those two things at the end of 2023?
So typically tax loss harvesting, it's not done by everybody. It's a good idea for people, especially in a volatile year, which we've had this year, is to take a look at where you are basis-wise and do you have any losses that you can harvest. Now, this only works in an individual portfolio, and that's the registration. It's individual or it's joint, so it's a taxable account because that's the only place you can really do this. It doesn't really matter in IRAs or 401ks, et cetera. So, but taking a look at it is locking in a loss, you then are reinvested, but you get to do the what's called loss carry forwards so that you can offset future income with these losses. It's just a tax efficiency that folks look at typically, CPAs look at that typically, but more and more advisors are starting to look at this and offer it as part of the service because it's really important to do that for tax purposes. RMDs, required minimum distributions. Well, the SECURE Act has changed these RMD years. It was 72 last year, and this year it's 73. And then next year, because they keep changing things, next year and in the out years, at least to date, it's going to be 75. So RMDs, basically you're waiting for the December 31st market value of your accounts, whatever that account is. And so if you haven't taken them for this year, you need to go back to last December 2022 and find out what the account value was. And then you do the calculation to make sure that you take your RMDs. I would highly recommend people look at doing that soon because a lot of managers will have a cutoff date as to when you can get your RMDs done by early December because there's all the reporting that has to take place. So don't wait till the last minute to calculate this out. If you haven't taken them for essentially 2023 RMDs, they have to be done by December 31st.
Very nice. Yeah, we're releasing this episode at the beginning of December, so do it now.
Don't
wait any further to
That's right.
address and take care of it. Perfect. All right, so we've had our general planning stuff. There's some tax considerations. Let's move on to the insurance side of things and maybe some healthcare part of that equation as well. The end of the year is a great time to review your health insurance and any long-term care coverages or related issues. How do you usually shape that conversation?
Well, if you're on Medicare, for instance, open enrollment is from mid-November to early December. So if you're going to make some changes, you need to be doing that pretty darn quickly. If you don't know where to go, get in touch with us and we can help you out with, we have some third party sources that are very, very good, are licensed in all 50 states. They can help you assess what makes sense for you in your state. Basically, go back and assess what makes sense for you. If you never go to the doctor, you probably don't need, you know, a high premium plan. You just need a high deductible. You know, so there's a lot of considerations that go into choosing the right type of healthcare. Long-term care is a different issue in that the first and foremost, the conversation is, what do you want to have happen? This is a really difficult one for a lot of people because they really haven't thought about it. Or if they do, they go, oh, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to wander into the woods.
Right. Yeah. I'll just end it.
I'll just end it. I'm like, okay, yeah. can we talk about how you're going to end this?
Right.
Because
some of these solutions are not realistic.
Yeah. That's right. And most people do want to stay in their homes. Most people are happy with in-home care. I have a client who finally got his father to move out to an assisted living or continuing care retirement community. They were so reluctant to do that, and now they're happy as clams that they did do that finally because they realized they couldn't handle everything.
Yeah.
So I try to get.
How long did it take them to come around? to like figure out?
It's taken a couple
when
years.
They moved in. Oh, so when they moved in, though, had they already come around to liking the idea, or it took them actually getting in place to like the idea?
No, you know, there was an event that happened. She couldn't use her. She had a bum leg, couldn't use her leg very well. He's trying to help her get in the car. They had an incident where both of them almost end up falling.
Okay.
So that's when he realized
that was the wake-up call.
Yeah, I need to do something, because I can't do it all anymore. And I mean, my own parents are starting to get to that point too, because they've been very reluctant, you know. And when you hear, you know, I need help doing this, I need help doing that, I'm like, okay, it's time to consider if you don't have a live-in help or somebody who can drop by regularly, then you need to be where other people can get to you if you have an issue. So, I mean, and they're all different types of situations that involve long-term care. So it's not just that you might be a senior or a very elderly senior.
Yeah.
And so it's worth having a conversation of what do you want to have happen? Who will be your advocate? Not just financially, but for healthcare. Yeah. So it's getting people to walk through that. Very important.
You can talk about these things any time of year, but it's on the end of year checklist, because often it sounds like to me, Janine, from all the information you've given me over the years, I mean, these conversations, especially the long-term care one, needs to happen with family members involved, or at least in the loop. And so make it part of the end of the year, because what happens at the end of the year? We tend to see our family at Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and gatherings like that. So now is a good time to bring those things up, even if they're not the most fun thing to talk about.
And sometimes you have expectations and your kids are not on board.
Not on the same page, yeah.
They're not on the same page. And nobody wants to be surprised.
Right.
Oh, by the way, I'm moving in with you.
Or they may be thinking they are going to help take care of you, and you don't want that, and so you need to set that straight, too, if that's not part of your wishes.
That's right.
All those things.
Yeah, important conversations.
Yeah. Very nice. All right, let's talk about income and lifestyle. So as you reach the end of the year, you're thinking about financial and retirement planning. What can you do to improve your situation in 2024? Well, I'm going to bring up the B word, budget. But Janine's going to push back on that a little bit. Let's just talk about income, lifestyle. So we're wrapping in Social Security, income streams, budgeting to this conversation. Where does income really pop up for you as in terms of end of year actionable items?
Well, I think a lot of people, I think it's a good assessment to go back and find out, well, where did my money go? Because it is really hard to plan forward if you don't understand what your spending habits are. Now, some people have a really good handle on this. Engineers tend to have everything in a spreadsheet, which is amusing. But it's helpful because then I know where my money went. If you have no idea, because you just pay your bills or you're on a revolving credit on a credit card, which is not always good, but where's the money going? So that you can kind of make an assessment. If you are working with an income, it doesn't feel as critical. But if you're going to walk right into retirement or you're getting close to retirement, it really helps to know what it actually costs you to live so that you can project forward what it's going to cost you to live in retirement, because what's the income you're going to be living on? And a lot of people struggle with what that could look like. Can I maintain the same lifestyle? Maybe, maybe not. So that's where budgeting really does come in. You know, where are the income streams going to come in? What's guaranteed? Okay, Social Security is guaranteed for the most part.
Right.
You know,
but,
do you have
a
pension?
Not everything that you have in your basket's going to have that same kind of guarantee, right?
That's right. That's right. Now, can you build it? Sure. What does that look like? You know, what are the different options that you could put in place to secure some of this retirement income? And that's another very important conversation, because a lot of people don't sit down and actually walk through this by themselves. You know, or sometimes husband and wife are not on the same page.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it can happen. And there's not only a financial element to this lifestyle conversation, but then sort of a physical one, right? Or a mental and physical one. We'll maybe just broadly call it the emotional side of planning. Start having conversations about how you're going to spend your time in retirement. The closer you get, the more important it is to have an actual plan for that stuff.
That's exactly true. I usually ask people, what's your purpose? What's the purpose going to be once you retire? And we've talked about this before in other conversations where a lot of men especially have identified who they are with what they do.
Yeah.
Women tend not to do that as much, but it's really important to start looking at what am I going to replace that with? Am I going to be volunteering with some organizations, volunteering in my church? Am I going to be, am I giving back to some organizations? Or am I just going to do hobbies? Am I going to create an income stream out of a hobby? Yeah. It's a good thing to kind of walk through that because staying active and having a purpose is so important for mental health. All the studies show that, but if you don't even need the studies, just think about it. The people who are the happiest are the ones who stay engaged.
Yep.
And staying healthy physically is really important. We know that. All the studies do prove that staying physically active is really important to your emotional, psychological health. So
I've got a fun story for you on that note, Janine.
Okay.
I think I shared on the last episode that my parents were about to retire, or maybe they had officially pulled the trigger at that point. I think it was after our last episode. But anyway, that they are officially retired now. And on like the first or second day of retirement, Mom went and did yoga. But what was really cool is that the new pastor at their church taught the yoga class. He does like yoga with the pastor. So she went, tried something different. It was like this one thing she wanted to do right after retiring. She wanted to go to one of these classes and she absolutely loved it. Like went out to the store afterward, bought a yoga mat. And she's like, I'm going to do this every week. So she found a new passion, like right out of the gate with that. So I just thought that was really cool. As somebody who's recently retired, like she didn't wait long and she like found a new thing to engage with, you know?
That is great. That's really great. And that's typically what makes people excited to get up in the morning and get out, is they have a group that they want to go see, or an activity that they want to do. I think that's really important. And that's great for her because it's physically rejuvenating, if you will.
Yeah. I can't picture her doing yoga. So I can't wait to go see this one day and enjoy that. But she'd be very mad at me for saying that probably right now. But love you, Mom. No worries. I'm proud of your yoga. That's awesome. All right, so lifestyle, big piece of the puzzle. We've got three more broad things to hit here on the podcast as we talk about end of year checklist. Next one, we may not spend a ton of time on this one, Janine. Up to you how far you want to take this one down the line, whether you think it's a big consideration for a lot of your clients or maybe this is just something that most people pass by. But it seems like the end of the year would be a good time to also reevaluate just in general your assets, but in particular, maybe any real estate assets that you have, considering improvements on a primary residence. Maybe there's investment properties that you're working with or dealing with. What kinds of ends of year decision making do we need to kind of keep at the forefront when it comes to just housing in general?
Well, so for primary housing, it's, does the house that you're living in currently meet your needs, wants, desires, et cetera? If it's still the house you love and you're okay taking care of it, then you don't really need to do anything. If you're considering downsizing, go and stay someplace with Airbnb or VRBO, really. Go stay in a smaller place and see what that feels like. Some people, I have a brother that's thinking, their house is not very big. It's very cool. It's on 7 acres though. And it's a cabin. It's kind of they added on to this cabin. It's very cool. It's in a rural area. There is, it's very peaceful. It's like a getaway, like a retreat. Well, they're getting tired of caring for the huge yard and all the things that go with that. So they've looked at, okay, maybe we're going to downsize to a condo in a community, in another city. Well, they went there and checked things out and they're like, yeah, no, we're not ready to do that.
Sounded nice. And then when they got there, they're like, nah, not our style.
Yeah. So, and then I had another set of clients that downsized from, I knew where they live. I mean, it was an awesome area and it was close to everything. And they decided they were going to downsize to basically an over 55. Mm. And I'm like, well, you guys didn't really need to do that, but that's what they wanted to do. And so far they're liking it, even though, once you get into a place and you start really, really looking at things, you're like, okay, this needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed. So the question is, how much of that do you want to do?
Right.
In a new place, potentially. So yeah, when if you have multiple properties and they're incoming or they're cash flowing properly, positively, then the question for you, especially if you're the one doing all the maintenance and repair or your spouse is, how long do you want to do that? Because
I kind of look at this one as like something that people might think about throughout the year, right. But the end of the year is just a good time to make sure you've thought about it, at least at some point during the year, kind of just officially sparking your brain.
Yeah, and just run your numbers. Does it make sense to keep doing it?
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
how much?
Very good.
Because at some point.
Let's talk about technology. You know, big news every year, more and more. Obviously, AI was kind of the big thing, I think, in 2023. But there was still tons of talk about cybersecurity issues, fraud. We know that that's a really big issue in the retirement community. So what about technology can be thought about and any actionable items there at the end of the year?
Well, I think people need to become more aware of cyber fraud. Scam, schemes, frauds. It's the whole thing. There's phishing. Everybody's familiar. Well, a lot of people are familiar with phishing. Phishing emails. I mean, I just did a course on cyber, and there are so many ways that criminals can get through to your information. So you do have to be really careful. Don't click on something you don't recognize. Yeah. Don't answer a phone call if you don't, if the number's not familiar to you. Or if you're not expecting a call from somebody. But with cyber, be careful where you are accessing your computer.
Don't go to the public library and log into your Fidelity account, that kind of
that's
thing.
That's right.
Typically not advised.
Exactly. There are a lot of things coming out with how good AI is and that it can mimic your voice. And so there are a lot of things flying around the internet about, you know, when you take a call, don't answer specific words because they can capture the quality of your voice and create you and then call your kids or things. You know, there's all kinds of things they can do with that.
And that's just really frightening to think about that power, right? And that cleverness and not good cleverness, bad cleverness. You know?
Right. And seniors are very trusting because they come from a world where your word was your bond and you didn't survive if you were a criminal necessarily. Today it's everywhere. And so they really do have to watch out. There are so many stories of people being scammed out of their life savings. So
half the battle, Janine, is just getting retirees to realize that they're a target, accepting that fact, right? Then helps us prepare for it.
I have a couple clients that have worked in cyber. So they're always saying, hey, make sure you do this. Make sure. I'm like, I know. But it's really, getting the older seniors. I would say the folks that are probably older than 75 that are the most vulnerable. People who are just not
evil,
tech savvy.
And I hate hearing the stories when they happen. But very glad that you're bringing up that awareness, talking about it. Unfortunately, Janine, not all of us have worked at the Pentagon in our lives and have that same vigilance that you do when it comes to security. But
yeah, people are just trusting. I mean, even my own parents and my dad should know better, but I have forbidden him to answer the darn phone.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Just unplug the thing from the wall. It's tough. We're about to train my dad on how to use a smartphone. So I think we're going to go through some of those same growing pains of like, all right, now sometimes things are going to pop up trying to get you to do stuff. You just got to ignore those things.
Yeah, that's right.
you don't get free tokens, none of that. Just stay
away. Right.
So that's going to be a fun journey. All right, last but not least, our final end of year checklist item and thing to think about would be when it comes to generational wealth considerations. So we're talking here, Janine, about gifting, perhaps to heirs or charity. That's always a good thing to look at the end of the year. But let's also cover any documents we should check into at the end of the year, estate planning considerations, all that kind of stuff.
Well, and a lot of times at the first of the year, we'll say, hey, please check on these things. But life happens and holidays are a good time to reevaluate who are your heirs.
Do I really like that cousin or my daughter enough to be my beneficiary? Maybe I should make it the other kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, beneficiary, so people should know that beneficiaries listed on any qualified plan, an IRA, a 401k, et cetera, Roth, trumps any will. So you want to make sure that you have checked, rechecked, who the beneficiaries are on your accounts. Typically, your spouse is 100% the beneficiary, and the spousal rules of inheritance will apply. Because of the SECURE Act, all the non-spousal rules apply to children or other entities because they are not designated beneficiaries, is what it's called. So it's really important to go through there and reassess or make sure that those are the people that, you know, that their information is correct on those forms. If you're thinking about charitable donations, now's the time before the end of the year, especially if you want deductions. Cash donations are deductible up to 60% to churches or any other charitable organization. So, you know, kind of figure out who you, based on taxes, based on income, you know, based on who you care about or what you care about, you know, that you're doing that early enough so that the deduction or the charitable contribution happens before December 31st.
Yeah, excellent. All good things to remember and to review. So, Janine, walk us through to put a bow on today's conversation. You like that, since it's our end of year sort of Christmas show?
Put good a bow one. On the
I say that every episode. It's just once a year. It kind of makes more sense. To put a bow on the episode today, how about taking us through the process? So if somebody hears today's content and they're like, yeah, I need some help going through all of these things, I'm going to get in touch with Janine by going to TheusWealthAdvisors.com and scheduling your time to visit. What's that visit then look like? Take us through what becoming a client looks like and just the planning process. Give us that 30,000 foot view.
So the first meeting is really, I mean, if you're ready to go, you know, you can send us statements if you want. But typically the first meeting is us getting to know each other a little bit and us trying to figure out what your biggest concerns are and can we help you? You know, are we a good fit? I mean, we might not be a good fit for you. You might not be a good fit for us. I mean, it's a really a familiarization meeting. And then the process goes through, you know, investment analysis, insurance analysis. It's a holistic approach to financial planning. So it's everything about your life. It's putting all the pieces together and making sure that they're integrated. So it's probably at least three meetings where we, you know, look at all the information. Basically, look, we go back and forth with the plan, because here's the thing about plans. I could give you a document, but if you walk outside and get hit by a bus, your plan just changed. So we have a conversation about what all of this actually means and what your purpose or true purpose for the money is. So because it has to, you know, reflect your values and what you're trying to accomplish. So that's really important. So the first couple meetings, or the first meeting, is familiarization. Then we do analysis and we co-create the plan. And then there's implementation. So there's no pressure to buy a specific product. We're not about products. We're about solutions. So that's a really important takeaway, is it's really about what you're trying to accomplish and how is the best way to accomplish that.
Very good. Thank you for the details. And if that sounds like the kind of engagement that you'd like to have with Janine and want to go through that planning process and discover the gaps that might be in your current plan and put a better plan in place together, not only for 2024, but for all of your future, definitely reach out and get in touch. Again, you can have a complimentary initial visit with Janine. Just go to TheusWealthAdvisors.com or call 443-718-6311. That's 443-718-6311. We'll also put that contact information in the description on the YouTube channel or in any of the podcasting apps that you might be using to listen to today's show. Well, Janine, thank you for all of these great details. Really appreciate your guidance and advice. I hope you enjoy the holidays and have a great couple of weeks, and we'll look forward to catching up again with you next month.
Thanks so much, Walt. You as well.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time right back here on Rockin' Retirement. Busier than ever and on a mission. Take care.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.